Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, yes, yes. A wonderful evening. This is the time of the evening that Blog Talk Radio has in store, the best message that you all going to receive all year. From Bunton Rising Radio, the one, the only, Uncle Billy. I knew I wasn't going to hear no big cheer out of that. You all done already read the information that I put up for tonight's show. 365 hours with God. Yeah. So, you know what to expect, but tonight's show is concentrating on believability, dependability. Who can you depend on? Who can you believe in? Is it that bad that you can't believe in your better half? I'm just calling it what they call it. Keeping it 100, keeping it 1,000. I'm just calling it what they call it. Now, if that's not what you call it, please let me know. Call in at the bottom of the page. You see what it says. Call in with your thoughts and opinions. And I made some changes to my page a little earlier, but for some reason, it didn't stay in. Yeah, so... It did it again. So I don't know. I'm just guessing because I figure if you put in something. Oh, I see it now. Forgive me. But I'm trying to concentrate on three things at once, and y'all know that's hard to do, especially when you almost 90. Yeah. 365. Oh, I know what I did. Now I had it in the wrong box earlier. So that was one thing. But the other thing is believability, dependability. What do you believe in? Okay, tonight's show. You know what really sets me off from people a lot lately is non-believability. New word. Don't get upset. Non-believability. If it's not in the dictionary, it should be. They don't believe in themselves, their significant others, their friends, and certainly not the Lord. Wait, before you say that, let me tell you about a gambler. He has to believe he's going to win to place a bet, right? Or the wife that believes that Big Daddy can feed her and the children. Is that believability? Is that faith? Trust? What is it? See, this is what I'm saying. But if you don't believe in something, and I submit to you, a lot of people say, a higher being, spiritual, like people normally say, a supreme being, you know, and religious people say the Lord, God, depending on what their religion is, you know. There's a lot of different religions, but a lot of people say we all serve the same God, just a different name on a different plane. I can understand all of that because, you know, the believability is within one's own being, you know, it's how you feel about certain things. So, you know, and don't be getting upset. Because sooner or later, you're going to talk to somebody else that believes like I do. It's got to be a supreme being. I died two times in March 3rd, 1979, and I'm still here. I'm still breathing. I didn't do it myself. Them doctors didn't do it. So, you know, tell me something I don't know. Now, just because you don't believe don't make you more intelligent than I am. And I don't really like talking about intelligence that much because each person has been gifted with their own form of genius. You know, something you really have the desire for, but you're afraid to try it because somebody, you might even be that great piano player, but you're scared. I had a nephew scared to play the piano at first because he said, man, them kids at school called me a sissy because I like playing the piano. And so I turned and I looked at him because he waited till I turned my back before he said it. He knew what was going to be. He had believability in me. He had faith that I was going to tell him the same thing I'd have told him and was going to tell him anyhow. That's the reason he waited till I turned my back. And he said it real low. But I turned right back around and I said, what? Is you crazy? What them kids think got to do with you? Same thing my daddy told me when I was little. I was a lot younger than he was. No, we were about the same age, about eight or nine. Because, you know, I had a curiosity about a whole lot of different things because I was well-read at a very early age. But I was well-versed in street lingo and Don Gorn's books and stuff. So, you know, I read grown folk books. I was reading them at 7 and 8 years old. And so I had a grand curiosity about it. So one day, went over to my dad's house and, you know, playing with the little girls, playing with the other little kids and stuff. And all of them was, they were in another world. They were, you know, they didn't even think about the kind of things and stuff that I did. So, anyhow, what I did was I was standing on the corner. I was about 9 or 10 then. And I was standing on the corner, and some guys came by with dresses on. It didn't shock me that much because I'd seen a couple just recently in my life. The first time seeing them was, I think I was about 8, something like that. We all went down to the Brown Derby on Bear Street because the real Brown Derby on Silkwood had burnt down. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. Yeah. Said something like 1958. I was about 10 then. Yeah, about 1958, 59. Yeah, I was almost 10. So, might have been 10. Might have been 1959. But anyhow, we was all curious and, you know, had to find out what was going on down at the Brown Derby. So, we saw some of everybody, some of everything, you know, pimps, players, and all of that. You know, the gamblers, the hustlers, the cream of the crop, you know. Some of them I can still name today that I saw down there because I knew them well. Yeah, that's right. So, anyhow, we went down there and looked, you know, peeping around corners and stuff and around cars. I didn't have to peep. My mama was at work. Didn't nobody else tell me nothing what to do. I was grown at 9 years old, 10 years old. So I said, well, so that's what's down here at the Brown Derby. We all me and the other boys, we packed it up and went on back to the house where we sit outside for a minute on the pallets. You know, that's what you did in Bon Ton at night. stayed out all night laying on the pallet, sleeping outside, you know, stuff like that. Just to be curious, just to be protected, because the entire community had your back. That's believability. But, you know, my daddy told me when I saw these men in dresses, my daddy got kind of upset. Boy, what are you looking at? I'm looking at your man. Yeah, if he calls another name, I will not call it in public right now because, you know, there's some words you use, some words you don't. I don't care to use them right now. So, anyhow, I say, oh, is that what they hear? He's, boy, you know what that is. You know what I'm saying? And he said, well, I tell you what. That ain't going to make them no woman putting on no dress. And I said, what, is that what they want to be, Daddy? He said, man, you just can't be everything you want to be because you want it to be like that, you know, and stuff like that. So I was still inquisitive. Didn't want to talk to Daddy no more because he's talking in rules. Boy, you can put on a dress. And walk down the street with, I don't know what kind of hat he said, but and that still ain't gonna make you no woman, boy. You're a pony. Okay, Daddy. Okay, I can agree with that. You know, 9 or 10 years old and telling me something that sensible, I can agree with that. But it didn't dissuade my thoughts, my fear, and stuff. And then as I got older, I was told so many different things about it, but my curiosity through the next three, four years, maybe even five, had dwindled so much to, you know, okay, what they do. Daddy told me I can't be there and I won't be there. So, you know, as long as that's what they want, they can, you know, that's what they do. So anyhow, it's all about believability. And if you don't believe in something, I really feel sorry for you. Because, you know, bright lights, big city, winning, you know, gambling, whatever it is you like to do, I kind of think you have to believe in yourself in order to obtain some of the goals that you set for yourself. Oh, by the way, it's a lot of y'all don't set goals. It's a lot of y'all don't have aspirations. And I would really like to ask why, but I don't like asking absurd questions in public. I would have to catch somebody that I'm forced to believe don't set goals and stuff to ask them why. You know, I'm just, you know, I'm talking about any daily goals, weekly goals, monthly goals, you know. How much money you going to make? How much money you going to save? You know, all kinds of goals, you know. Can you bite the bullet and not do so-and-so, so-and-so? Those are goals, you know what I'm saying? Can you stop smoking? That's a goal. Can you stop drinking? That's an even bigger goal. Folk don't know it, you know, people be playing with themselves and all that hollering. Man, I ain't no alcoholic. I can stop drinking anytime. You ain't stopped yet. You know, when your kids need you, you still going to get that fifth of gin and go about your business. I'll take care of them kids later. When is later going to come? Y'all don't hear me. But I'm just talking because my son had this show scheduled a while back, and for the last couple of weeks, I've been coming on and doing his rhythm thing, 365 hours with God, and it's kind of unsettling to know that I was looking at something today, and people had to put their occupations down, their religion down and stuff. Oh, it was that old folk dating service. Yeah, that's what I was looking at. And believe you me, you get to see some crazy stuff when you look at stuff like that. So as I was looking at it, I said, this lady, she didn't say atheist, but she said the other word that lets you know she don't believe in God. She has no faith in that, I guess, mankind either. I'm not sure, but what we have to believe in, y'all, is something that can motivate you enough to do better than what you're doing. Because if you really not in the place, if you really not in the place that you want to be at this point in time, at your age, then it's just me. I think you have to change your thinking and get on another plane of thought. Because, as I said earlier, if you don't believe in something, you're in a pitiful position. You're in a pitiful situation. Because believability is a plus. It's like when you say, I hope, and you believe in that hope that things are going to get better. You know, I hope things get better. You know, I hope this, I hope that. But, you know, if you don't ever say words, like, what do you say when you want things to get better? Would you just give up? And the reason I keep bringing this up, mind you, is that it's a lot of people out there that don't believe in anything, that don't have hope, but they're despaired all the time and disgruntled. Do you think that might be the reason why they want to see other people doing bad? You know, when we was young, people used to say, you know, misery loves company. Well, in this day in society, misery has a whole hell of a lot of company, because there's so many people that don't believe. And I'm just trying to start a topic to where we can open the line of discussion to where we can get some of these answers and try to change some of that. You know, I really, really, and I honestly tell you the truth, I've been in some battles and some God doggy situations to where I know I needed God or somebody to help me. So I always did cry, God, if you get me out of this one. And like I said, March 3rd, 1979, I died two times. In November of 2013, I died on the operating table. They were removing a tumor. Started dialysis in 1996. Well, my brother had to tote me to the car because I didn't have a wheelchair or anything like that. But he had to tote me to the car, and as he was toting me to the car, some of my friends said, what's wrong? What's wrong? I'd been trying to hide my illness for so long, hoping that it would get better, knowing that I had to do something else because for a pretty good while, it wasn't getting better. But then, you know, some of the other things that I've been through, you know, like I said, being on dialysis for 10 years, it's not fun. But after my first 10 years of wait, I got off of dialysis, got a liver and a kidney, double transplant, had a few setbacks at first, went into some bad situations, had some bad attacks and stuff for whatever reason, and guess what? I'm here now. Okay, after dialysis, today, I come in here and a couple of people call me asking me, you going to do the show tonight or you too tired? I tell them, well, every week that my son isn't available,
I'm going to show him that I believe some of the same things he did. Things going to get better. It's going to get greater later. I know all of them terminology because I've been there, done that. I didn't learn my love for God from being in the church or in the pulpit or anything like that. I learned my love from God from being in them situations that he kept pulling me out of. You know, and I'm going to say it just like this and say it like I mean it. You know, it's hell. Okay, I had this friend named Happy. He was one of them Jack's boys, but his last name was Wuffin. Me and Happy had a fight almost every week. Happy was a battler. He was a fighter. He loved fighting. He would get him shot to a thunderbird and anything else that would set him off, and he would start fighting. And after he got enough alcohol in him, it didn't matter who. Me and him was like best friends all day long. And, you know, as I said, I ain't going to do no god dog running. These streets here is my home. So beat me down all the time. I'm going to be here. You know, I'll be here next week, too. So we did it. And tell you what, it's good to know that Happy was my friend. Because every time I got into it with somebody, I don't care where he had to come from. If he was at a football game and somebody said, Bill is over there fighting, Bill is at the world, he was always there. So, you know, those are the kind of things that I'm talking about when you're talking about immediate believability. You know, at all times when I was getting to a fight and I knew if I was at a party and Happy was outside or Happy was inside and I was outside, some of them dudes, you know, they're going to try you when they got their partners with them. But I just knew my partner was there. So I had believability. Because if they said Bill was out there fighting, he was going to show up. But he sure could hit. Yeah, I mean, he had my jaw so for weeks and weeks, months and months. I don't know how long. We fought every month, sometimes every week, almost sometimes two times a week, depending on how early we got intoxicated. But this dude, I was all of 135, maybe 40 pounds. And I'm giving myself about 5 or 10 pounds. But he was about 220, 230 pounds. And that was his light weight. Man, could he hit? They said Mike Tyson could really hit. I don't know. I ain't never been hit by Mike Tyson. I've been hit by Happy. Man, could he hit? And man, yeah, he could fight. He could really fight. So, and when you get drunk, you know, you can't feel them licks coming to you. It means your licks be going harder and harder. So, yeah, he was good. So, the believability part came up because everybody that knew me and Happy fought didn't want to fight me. I was still one of the smallest dudes on the block. But they said, that fool, that crazy, man. That's that end words, you know. Back when I was young, we used it all the time, for all kinds of reasons. So I'll be politically correct right now, but that's that end dude that's fight Happy all the time. Dude said, well, I don't think I want none of that right now. I couldn't fight that good, but I would fight back, you know. So I had the believability that if I keep on fighting this dude back, he gonna stop messing with me. I had to threaten him one time, you know, what really stopped him from messing with me. But, you know, and he knew my threats wasn't fake. You know, he knew I was who I said I was. You know, like the guy said on the football, we knew who they were, and they was who we thought they were. That's what they used to say about me. Well, I know who he is, and that's who I think he is. I ain't going to mess with that crazy man. So, and it got along good. Till I moved to another neighborhood and got started. People wanted to try you all over again, wherever you went. But after a short period of time, they found out. That dude, he must be that crazy person from $5. And the other people tell him, yeah, that's him. So, you know, I was telling a driver today about my growing up and having friends in all parts of the world. You know, even though our world wasn't wide as it is now, you know, in my day, you couldn't go to you couldn't go to West Dallas, East Dallas, and places like that and get along with people at first because somebody wanted to try you. But usually it was more than one person at a time. Y'all don't hear me. It wasn't no real gangs, but it was always a gang of folk. Y'all will get that in a minute. Y'all will catch that. It wasn't concentrated. You know, anybody could walk up and take a lick. They was a member of the gang of folk at that time. But, you know, be it said, most of them didn't want to put out that I was in that when they beat that dude up in Oak Cliff, or I was in that when they beat that boy up. And Bunton didn't mind. They didn't care. Wherever they fought, they fought together. If you hit one dude, didn't even have to like him. I can tell you a person, I dislike this boy so much. God says don't talk bad about the dead. But I'm just going to bring his name up because everybody disliked him almost. But everybody loved him. His name was Bucky Johnson. And just like them Buckies you see all on TV and everywhere else, he was, I said I wasn't going to use that word no more, bad. He was terrible, man. He would cross your partnership up. I mean, man, this boy got me hit in the jaw at a party full of East Dallas folks just by telling them we ain't with him. But soon as the guy hit me, everybody wants my. I said, no, y'all ain't in this. Y'all stop. Because it was one of my soon-to-be girlfriend's houses. Y'all ain't tearing up my house because I got hit. I know how to pay folk back. I walked out that party, man, my head down. Man, I was so sad and was dancing with another girl I really, really liked. And because she wouldn't let him cut in, he wouldn't whistle to this guy, and the guy popped me in my jaw. He ain't got no help. Yeah, Dwayne Thomas, Big Sammy Lamb, all over there at this party. They was East Dallas folks. Dwayne was kind of partial. So, you know, and so it was almost like I was by myself unless I started fighting. So I told him, I'm going. I left. Went home, put my pistol in my pocket. I went barrel thinking they wasn't going to mess with me and all of that there. But, man, I'm telling you, believability and faith, Bucky messed that up that night. I didn't believe like this for a long while. Yeah, somebody will cross you up that's supposed to have your back. But when the other guys heard about it, they, man, why you do that, Bucky? I wanted to see if he would hit him. I was going to help him, but he didn't hit him back. Man, that's my girlfriend's house. Soon to be girlfriend. I don't even know if we started together after that. Had me so upset. I can't fight. People know I will fight. That's what I did. But Mr. Dice got in me, I couldn't do a thing. That's believability. I believed at that time I was going to go with that young lady. So, but all said and done, faith will move mountains. When you hear that, only ye with a little faith. Believe that. And I tell you this from the start of our conversation to the end. I ain't going to lie to you. I ain't going to lie for you.
and I ain't gonna lie about you. But I will ask me a question. I will tell you the truth. I will tell you the fact. So my believability, and I really believe this, shall move mountains. I don't care what kind of mountain it is. You name it. You name it. I believe that my faith in my God will move mountains. Now, we can set you might I forgot. If you don't believe in nothing, you don't set goals or do nothing else. You know, you don't know what you're gonna be doing next week with your life because you don't have a goal set because you don't have belief that you can get there. See, that's what I'm talking about. That's self-deformation. That's self-everything else. You just, your character flaw is too big for your brain. Say, man, you got to swallow some goddamn me power pills or something and get you some head sense and head muscles. Because, you know, how do you have friends? How do you, as I stated a little earlier, you know, friendship is more than just a one-way street. As I said, friendship is almost supernatural. Supernatural. You know, when you get a friend that's really a friend that will sometimes have his hand out, but you know, if he get it from you, he gonna try to give it back. He's gonna do something else that will, you know, benefit you in the same type of way. Fast, you know, if he see you hungry, he bring you a sandwich. You know, all of this kind of stuff. It's believability. But you can't, if you don't believe in nothing, if you don't believe in man, you know, how can you have friends? Do you believe in them? Well, how did they get to be your friends? Was it osmosis? They just came out and was your friend, you wasn't their friend back? Because if you don't believe in nothing, undoubtedly, you can't believe in friendship. That's just me thinking. I'm trying to do some power thinking to get you to do some power thinking because that's what it's going to take for you to get out of the rut that you're in. So when Bunton Rising Neighborhood Services tries to befriend you, are you going to tell me you're going to bite us in the back? I'm just asking questions. I'm being very hypothetical because, you know, I hate to come to a man and thinking that I can help him out of his rut or do something for him, but I find out he don't want my help. And better yet, he don't even condone my being there. Y'all don't hear me? But see, these are the kind of things you have to wake up to before you can tell somebody you're their friend or you love them. Because if you're not going to go all out for them and do all you can for them, then actually you got another ulterior motive. Got to have. I remember when I was young, I used to say, to be precisely speaking about the whole situation, you don't deserve no friend. Because if you can't be a friend, you know the old saying, a friend in need is a friend indeed. I really believed in that, and I would tell all of my friends, I know how to find out if you my friend or not. And they'll say, hi. I said, I ain't going to tell you. If I told you, you'd start trying to do it. Right. So I'd hold back, you know, because, you know, back in the day, you either had to tell somebody you was a friend or they would think you were their enemy. Don't know why that perception came into view, but it was a realistic situation. And people define friendship by what you told them at first, you know. It was a honesty type thing. I know you hear me. I know you understand what I'm saying. But that's what it was, you know. Honor, loyalty, dependability. It was a must in the project. It was a must in Bunton. When we told
people from Anderson Street that they couldn't come in the projects because they were not of the same situation that we were. Anderson Street was right next to where we had to go to the theater at, where we had to go. Man, I'm telling y'all last night about the donut shop. Man, best donuts in the whole wide world. And the guys that would drop the papers off, the newspapers off back then, they'd be looking around so much like somebody coming, somebody coming. They wouldn't even stop and get donuts. But that's as far as they would take the papers. Y'all don't hear me. And one dude could be standing there, and they'd ask him, is it all right if I leave these papers? Yeah, man, that's what you do all the time. Just leave them papers, man, and go on about your business. Ain't nobody threatening you or nothing. Kind of sort of was. But not had to pull out no money. But, you know, that wasn't my game. That was not my, I didn't even get in those type situations. And when I fought, most of the time, outsiders or whatever you want to call them, that wasn't in the front project, I either owed them one or I just gave them one to pass along to some of their friends. Tell them I'm still here, you know. Yeah, I'm going to still get them, you know, if something happens. But as I grew older, that was when I was 9, 10, 11. As I grew older, I didn't even run with people like that that wanted to fight. I got into a couple of scrapes, you know, every now and then. People would say, well, I didn't know who he was and stuff like that. But hardly ever, because I ran with older folk. By the time I reached 16, 17 years old, my brother was too young to be with me. My older brother. And he was 5 years older than I was. He was too young to be. All of my friends were like, when I was 13 and he was 18, he gave me one of the best whoopers I ever had in my life. He didn't hit me as hard as Happy did, but man, he whooped me long. Long and hard. Because I hit my sister. And so, you know, we didn't keep our distance. After that, we became almost like best friends. But I told him, don't ever do that again. We never had another fight in life. We had some screaming contests. We had some arguments, you know, because he was always right and I was always right. And y'all know what that is. That's love. But but anyhow, It came to pass that I started searching other areas for friends and stuff. I go to West Dallas, get on the bus, ride over to Wimpy's on Singleton. Little young lady stayed down the street. Gang of dudes popped out on me. You know, I thought I knew their hours. Yeah. About 12 dudes popped out on me. And it just so happens the young lady that I was over there to see, her brother was pretty well known. I didn't know any of this. I'm just telling you how angels pop up. Believability. I was going to get a good breast delicate. I mean, they really, if you don't believe that they carried golf clubs, had somebody from Bunton that got whooped, like Bo Chills and a few other folks. I said I wasn't going to call Bo Chills' name no more. He got hit on the head with a rubber mallet, a rubber hammer. It knocked all up and down his head. Okay, Bo Chills, I ain't going to say that no more. But they called me right there at Wimpy, the big burger place. And, man, where you from? He saw my little crew jeans, my little white T-shirt, you know, summer wear, you know. Man, what you talking about? Where I'm from? I'm from around here. No, you're not. You wouldn't even say it that. Man, yeah. Hey, y'all, what y'all going to do? What y'all, you know, asking each other? And this boy come out to cry and say, y'all ain't going to do nothing. That's my friend. I said, Lord, I got a friend out here too. Because this dude was give me a goddamn me bunt on whooping in West Dallas, in the heart of West Dallas. And so as I looked around, I'm trying to see. And it's her brother, big old dude, you know, a little larger than the average. He said, that's my friend, man. He said, man, you didn't see, I don't know why all kids used to say this. You don't even know him. You just saying that because you like arguing with us. You like doing, you don't want us to have no fun, all that kind of stuff. He said, man, I ain't got nothing to do with what y'all do, but if y'all beat him up, y'all going to have to beat me up. Crowd thinned out real quick. I wonder what his name is. I've been going over to this man's house for, well, this boy's house, but he was just like a man. This boy's house for a year and something, and I didn't know he was this tough. Shoot, I'd have came over here in the evening time. I'd have went to the project. You know, I didn't know it was two different cities. You know, projects didn't be the same way we were in Bunta. They were like that in West Dallas. Because I got caught in West Dallas a couple of times, too. Because I was greedy. Because I like being by myself. Because Daddy always said, boy, if you be by yourself, you can't tell on yourself. And guess what? You ain't got to worry about nobody telling on you. I said, Daddy, that makes sense. A lot of stuff you said makes sense, Daddy. I'm going to stick with this one, though. I like that one. So I catch the bus and go to West Dallas by myself. And I got caught out there, but then about 20-something folk. Big old, come and give me a knot party. And the only lie I could think of was this little short dude, shorter than I was, I felt like all the time because I used to meddle him. He was going with my niece. And, you know, she was a few years older than I was, so that meant he was too. And I told him, I said, man, what y'all talking about? Poaching me like that, coming. Y'all don't know who I am? They said, no. I said, I'm Roger Mack's uncle. Only a couple of times, because he was going with my niece, he laughed and called me uncle. And so I said I was his uncle. Only lie con man could tell at the time. Only thing came to mind. And one of the sensible people that was circling the wagons to kill the Indians, and I was on the Indians there, said, somebody go get Roger Mack and make sure. Because, you know, y'all don't want to get Roger Mack mad. I said, hell, that sounds like the same dudes in my neighborhood. You know, y'all don't want to get Bill mad. And so I said, golly, this boy must be real tough, real tough. I didn't see how tough he was right then. I kind of saw him because as they went and got him, he come around the corner with a smile on his face. And then he saw me. I saw him. He started laughing. Man, what y'all doing with my uncle, man? And Lord have mercy, you should have seen the smile on my face then. What was them things that make you prime persimmons or something? I could have ate a persimmons and got him then. Now, man, I smiled because he said just what I needed him to say at the time. Man, Lord have mercy. It just seemed so right. So good. He said, man, Bill, man, what's up? I said, man, I was trying to tell these dudes I was coming out here to see you, but they stopped me. He said, well, they ain't going to never stop you no more. Say, man, this is my uncle. Anytime he come out here, God dog, if you mess with him, you're messing with me. I'm talking to this dude. I keep saying, I was short. This dude was short and I was damn near. But I found out maybe a few years later in life, because it wasn't that many, because drugs came into the system and folk were going in different parts of town taking drugs from each other and stuff like that. And I found out that a lot of other people feared Roger Mack. Roger Mack was known to carry, Roger Mack was known to carry two 45 pistols up under his coat that he wore even in the summertime. And and he would use them.
Hi, Billy.
Hello, boss.
How are you?
I'm blessed. I'm giving some rhetoric about believability and telling folk about the past and why they should try to adjust their stinking thinking. Because believability means a lot, especially when someone is there to help you and you let your past losses or past disgust hinder you from making friends and being friends with someone that's there to help. And I was telling them about Bunton Rising in the parody that I was using by telling them that some of the people that saved other people in other parts of town could also be a savior to them if they would listen, you know, and you learn from your mistakes. But, you know, if you don't never consider them mistakes, then what? You never learn nothing.
No,
you don't never consider them mistakes. Yeah, you're going to stay the same with no effort to get better, no effort to do more, and I just said that's a pitiful situation, you know.
Yeah.
But for us to be a positive effect on the neighborhood, the area, and whatever else folk want to call it, like I said, I call it home, you know, because it's just like home. But if we gonna have a positive effect, we got to take our bitter with the sweet and understand that everybody's not gonna like us, everybody's not going to agree to seek help. But I'm finding more ways and more ways to try to put something together. I found a book today. I got to dialysis kind of late, and well, not late. I got a little later than my normal time. And young lady walked in with some books that was, you know, look kind of thick and resourceful. So I had one of the guys pass me one of them. And they are called Senior's Blue Book, Greater Dallas. I'd never seen one inside of Dallas, so I don't know. But I'm going to introduce it to South Dallas in the perfect way from Bunton Rider Neighborhood Services. Oh, these folks ain't met me yet. They'll meet me tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we're going to be introduced. It's a great book. I mean, it has all kinds of information. It's like a telephone book. Senior's Blue Book.
Senior's Blue Book.
Yeah, Resources for Aging Well.
Wow.
Winter, Spring 2016. Free. Greater Dallas, than Dallas and Collin Counties. So it comes out of the Mesquite, Collin County area. So that's real close to me. So hopefully when I call these people and tell them where I'm located, I don't have to call them back later and give them my call and address to get some of these. But I'm going to call them tomorrow and see. I mean, it has plentiful. It's got information in it you'd never believe. And some of the agencies that's inside I'm going to be contacting to become friends with, you know. So that when we extend our hands to help people, we'll really have something else to work with.
Yeah.
And by the
right.
way, this is a short show tonight because this was like another commentary because it was 365 days with God, and that's another reason why it was so short. I haven't had 365 days with him concurrently in quite a while.
Okay.
I hope you all laugh at it like I just did. It's really not that funny, but it is, you know, knowing how I depend on him and all of that.
Let's just say he's out there gathering material.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, he took that same day off I did, I hope. But yeah, so I was telling folks a few stories about believability and how I got to be at this mindset was by telling them at first, if I didn't have faith, if I didn't have hope, I wouldn't be here today because all of the times that I called on the Lord, he showed up. Sometimes when I called on some of my friends and even some of my family members, they were too busy. The Lord has never been busy for me. You know what I'm saying? So if the believability is any factor, then that's who I would go with.
I gotta go. I'll call you back.
Okay.
Get in time.
And so, Miss Guru Lady, we got 10 minutes left. We have 10 minutes left, and I would like to hear your opinion. You called in. Let's get your opinion.
Okay. Good evening, Uncle Billy. Good evening, Boss Lady. How y'all doing? I'm glad to hear you talking about the Creator. You know, people use different names to coin the spirit or to name that spirit that they want to abide within them. There's hopefully a spirit of goodness and will toward all. We come into contact that we treat people like we want to be treated and do those things that are not going to make us regret. You know, that's some things that the Bible tells us that we need to do, and it should be a sucker nature if you was brought up in the church or under the scriptures. But just getting back to what you started, what I came in on was the South Dallas camaraderie that we would, you know, we stuck together. If somebody cousin came to the projects, and you know, they pretty much had to know who the gangs was, who the leader was, who, well, see, we didn't call it gangs, but see, there's a thing about it that we had a hierarchy. And there's a hierarchy, first of all, for the girls, and then there was a hierarchy for the boys. And you had to meet, if you was a female, you had to, you know, meet and greet the what we call the leader. It was really like the leader of the pack, but you had
to go over and say hello right away.
Yes, ma'am. When we first moved to Rose Terrace in 1966, I was 6 years old. My oldest sister was she was born in 51, so she's 9 years older than me. She was 15. There was a group of girls that came over to our house, just like a committee. You know how you have in those well-to-do neighborhoods where the ladies come over with a cake or you know, to invite you to their club. Well,
yeah,
they came, these young ladies, about four young ladies, came over, and that was, this was at nighttime because we had just finished moving in. This is how soon it was. They had been watching us move in. So when we got pretty much settled, they came over and introduced themselves and were very, very formal with it. They said, well, we see that you have a teenager that's about our age. Yeah, called up from upstairs, so, like me and my mom and my little brother, you know, the younger ones outside on the porch, just like we do, we have to research and check everything out. But the older ones in the house getting things together. And sure enough, we call her. They came. She come downstairs. She greeted them, and they began to introduce themselves and let them know, you know, told her where they live, told her about the schools, et cetera, et cetera. And those young ladies were friends with my sister until the day that she passed, you know, and she died, my oldest sister. But those young ladies, if they see me today, they treat me like I'm their little sister, because you become a part of a larger family. And you know, that's and these bonds are very, very strong. For instance, I was went over to a cousin's house on Stark Street yesterday. And, you know, in the Burn Street corridor, they have some new businesses that are pretty much getting started or whatever. And there's a store, Billy TC's is for sale.
TC's
is a store that's run by an Asian group of people, and it's been in the neighborhood for some, I'd say, about 20 years at least, that these particular people have been in the same location. And,
well, we need to go check that out. I want to go. What's the resource for knowing it's for sale? Do they have a sign out front?
They have a sign out front. Yes, they sure do. I'll be more than willing
still,
to go and yes. They call
still
me
operating?
Taxi lady.
Is it still open?
Yes.
Would you help me? Would you help me purchase it?
Oh, for sure. No doubt about it. I'd be more than happy to.
Okay,
more
well, maybe let's make an arrangement to go over there.
Sure.
I'll
give you my number. It's going to exchange numbers. Let me know, and I'll be more than happy to go over there with you.
Okay.
We got 90 seconds, y'all.
All right.
Well make sure you get my number, and
you can go look me up on email me at doc@bontonrising.com.
Uh-oh. Hold on. One moment.
Is that your closing song?
No, that's my one of my homeboys keep calling, I don't interrupt my evening with the ladies or homeboy.
Starting February 1st, we're gonna have a jingle for our radio station. Whenever it comes on, you know it's on.
All right.
On February 1st.
Yeah, I'm writing that down. Now let me have your email address.
It's doc at bontonrising.com.
At bontonrising com, okay?
Yes, that's it.
Oh, okay then. So there's doc, D-O-C, at buntonrising.com. And that Bunton, B-O-N-T-O-N.
Yeah, we stuck with the American version, although I know that what's the French spelling for it?
It's the same. It's the same. B-O-N-T-O-N.
No, the top is spelled with a P. T-E-U-M-P or something like that. You know, the French spelling.
Right. It's B-O-N-T-O-N because there's a...
We've never used that. So we use the Bunton spelling.
Well, the French is B-O-N-T-O-N.
Is that right?
Yes. They had just a confirmation. I saw a cooking, well, it wasn't a cooking show. It was a chicken place that was called Bunton. And it captured my attention. It was about a day or two ago. And it was called Bunton Chicken. I'm going to look it up. And
they have a lot of different ones, but the French pronunciation and spelling is totally different.
Okay, well, they mentioned that when they were talking about the restaurant and the type of food that they prepared.
Some people still use it. The American spelling in French situations because they are just like us.
You're right. Okay, I understand. You're right. As a matter of fact, you just gave me a little homework to do, so I'm going to do that.
All right.
Well, I love you guys. Peace and love to the both of you.
And I love you too. And I'm going to go ahead and how do I spell your name?
Morgan.
Okay,
Morgan.
Good deal. Good deal.
And we'll set up. Would you get in touch with them? Let them know you have
a
potential buyer.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that.
Please.
And then I'll let you know
when
I find out. I'll go down there tomorrow.
All right. Please do.
Okay.
Good
night, Uncle Billy.
Uncle Billy is signing off. Dude from Burnside just called me. So y'all have a great evening.
You too. All right, we'll get that information. Good
Doc
deal.
Morgan.
Good night.
Doc. Dr. Morgan.